The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
I didn't come here for a haircut, you know what I mean? We're trying to get it on. I came here for jewelry.
I'm not sure, to be honest. I really haven't talked to him a whole lot. I don't know about through the year. I know maybe work with some younger pitchers, that kind of thing. That might be the focus, so I don't know where he's going to be, though.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
John Lackey into Kyle Hendricks and the subject of Paul Sullivan's column in the Chicago Tribune. Not exactly sure why John Lackey's here, but it's good to see you, and we'll figure out and see if anyone has figured out exactly why he was there.
Set a tone for these new Cubs. Just like Matt Nagy's new coaches, new assistant coaches are doing for his football team. Going to take that tough love approach. That's what John Lackey's going to do with the Cubs pitching staff. Maybe the entire roster, Danny.
I have no idea, but I like that Hendricks didn't know either. I don't know.
Lackey is just a matter of time, buddy.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
That's enough of that, Lackey.
Yeah, he sees him tomorrow and he'll give him a Judge Smales. Don't you have a home? Do you have something to do?
These guys just want to hang out. They got so much money. He's just probably waiting for John Lester to be done stretching so they can go golf together and drink gin and tonics.
The motivation of having to wear baseball pants it is something to keep you fit in the off season for players who've been retired for a little while, because nobody wants to wear that if you get really chubby. It's probably much, much better among baseball players than it is football players. Some of them fall terribly overweight and would not look good in football pants.
Yeah, baseball people don't seem to be bothered by the fact that they have to wear uniforms, though, well beyond when it's ridiculous for them to be wearing it.
And no, even pitching coaches.
Managers, yeah.
Fleshy buttocks.
Just so bizarre. Like, Lupinella every day when he went to work, he never once thought it was ridiculous that he had to get into those pants.
You got no ass, Lou.
It's just such a weird thing.
We used to call it loading. When you can't fill out your jeans, you get this big, just all this. What is that? Hey, Lou, you're loading.
We'd call it a flutie.
A flutie?
Yeah, you got the flat booty.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah, I never had much of a buttocks, so yeah. Probably should start doing some squats. But yeah, baseball pants look ridiculous. We got him on the line. Where is he? I don't see. Oh, my screen is not updated. Do we have? My phone shows that. Oh, wait, there he is up there. My mistake. New system. God, are we professional
it's
around
Friday.
Here? It's not, but it's not on this one. This screen's not updated.
Yeah, that screen doesn't move very
this
often.
This place, I don't know what's going on. I apologize for the shoddy introduction. Paul Sullivan, the newest in the wake of the news columnist from the Chicago Tribune, joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. I guess congratulations are in order, Sully. That's pretty cool, man. Congrats on the column.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
I would like to, from my standpoint, remove the I guess congratulations indeed. I mean, some of my favorite Chicago sports writers of all time, David Israel, going way back, Bernie Lincecum, Bob Verdi, Skip Bayless before the lobotomy was and in the wake of the news columnist of note. Those are big shoes to fill, mister. Nice going.
Wow, I don't know if I can fill Skip's lobotomy shoes, but the rest of them, I mean, I don't know how David felt when he got it, but you do think about all those guys, and you're like, I'm not really in that category, but I'll take it.
Were you surprised, humbled? Like, when you get the offer, what's your reaction?
At that point, David was gone. So I assumed they were either going to give it to someone or, discontinue it. And so I was glad that they decided not to discontinue it. It wasn't, I had already booked for spring training and everything, so I wasn't really going to change my plans. But I was very grateful. And, I hope I can live up to it.
I thought your intro column about it was interesting in that you'll still be focusing mostly on baseball because you don't want to just parade in and say that Mitch Trubisky sucks or that Jim Boylan should be fired. Though I'll tell you that based on our text line, a lot of people would agree with those columns, Sully.
That is one thing that everyone has an opinion on, and I think I could take that one. But you know, if I want to do something on why the Bears' offensive line sucks or why they can't get a tight end or, you know, I think I would leave that to Brad Biggs or some of the experts there. But I do think I know baseball, and right now there's, you know, so much going on with the Sox and the Cubs that it was pretty easy to say, yeah, okay.
So that's the intention then, to just keep it to the diamond almost exclusively, or will you ease your way into the bigger canvas?
I got to be honest, it really is kind of open-ended. It wasn't really explained fully. It was just kind of like, you want to do this? And I said, can I do baseball? And they said yes, and here I am. So, I mean, I don't think I'm going to jump on the Bulls and do the Fire Gar Pax thing, although, you know, that would probably be my first column. But, you know, I mean, I'm not an expert in these other subjects, so I feel like I would be kind of infringing on someone else's expertise if I did that.
What would you like to bring to the position of columnist that might be missing, if in fact you think there's something missing in our local media?
I don't know. I don't know if there is anything missing. I would like to think that people who've read me for many, many years know that I'm not really probably as serious as some of the other writers. And so I think I bring that side to it. I'm probably got a little bit of Steve Rosenblum type snarkiness, and some people may not like that. But, you know, we're all different voices, and hopefully some people like it. A lot of people on Twitter don't. But, you know, I don't think you can really please everyone these days. Back in the day, you know, if people didn't like you, they just write you letters. But now it's like all over the internet for everyone to see that they don't like you. As you guys know how that works, you know, you say anything opinionated that people don't agree with, it's just gonna be all over the Twitter or whatever.
Have we figured out, as we're talking to Paul Sullivan, who is in Arizona covering Cubs and White Sox camp as the newest In the Wake of the News columnist for the Chicago Tribune, have we figured out what John Lackey's role is yet at Cubs camp?
I don't know. He's kind of just stalking around and, you know, giving that look. And, you know, he doesn't seem to have mellowed a whole lot, but we haven't really gotten close enough to talk to him. But the Cubs, I asked if we could do a press conference, and that was kind of rejected. So I don't know. There's a night game tonight. I don't know if he'll be there, but we've only seen him from a distance, kind of like Bigfoot. So really hard to tell.
What has struck you as significant in this Cubs camp? And we'll get to the White Sox in a bit too, Sully, but what has struck you as important for David Ross's Cubs thus far?
Well, I think the Brian thing, really, they resolved that really quickly. I mean, when he came to camp, we had been talking about him all winter as being possibly gone. And, you know, the debate over whether he should, you know, they should offer him one of these contracts or whatever, or has he been offered and turned it down? And he just came in and said he never really got that kind of a contract offer in the first place. The next day or 2 days, you know, Ross is saying he's the leadoff guy. So, you know, he went from being a possible distraction in camp to, okay, this is what he's doing. He's going to be here. And I think that just kind of smoothed things over right off the bat. Ross missing a few days with, you know, whatever illness he had, I think that was significant just in the fact that his players still felt like they could, you know, give him a bunch of grief about it instead of, you know, oh, well, he's a manager now. Maybe we should, you know, not make fun of him. So I thought that was a good start.
Do you think that the Bryant story will just pick back up again, though, as we get closer to the trade deadline?
I kind of think it depends on how they're doing. I mean, if they're not doing well, you know, I mean, I think that's the end. He would be the first one to go, and then the rest of them would follow. If they're in contention, which, you know, they should be. I mean, Milwaukee didn't do anything. The Reds have improved, but, you know, they haven't proven anything. Cardinals didn't do a whole lot this offseason. So, you know, they could win like upper 80s and win that division. So I think it all depends on how the season goes.
How about the White Sox, Paul? What do you see in their forecast? I like that the bar has been raised and just getting competitive for at least the White Sox fans in this room, not enough. We're expecting them to be better than 500. I think that's fair based on what they did with their roster. Do you?
Yeah, totally. Especially playing in that division where you have, you know, two other teams that are just outright tanking, and the Indians don't seem like they're that serious about competing. So really, I would think it would be the Sox and the Twins. I like the moves they made. I'm a little, suspicious right now with Giolito, behind. They say not to worry about it, but they always say stuff like that. So that would be a concern. Gio Gonzalez, he hasn't even, he may have thrown a bullpen today, but he hasn't thrown yet. So, I'd like to see Grandal too. He hasn't been in any games. So, other than injuries, they should be okay.
Do you know how good Ricky Renteria is as a manager yet?
No. Does anyone?
I guess I'm a little surprised he's there still.
Well, why is that? Because the record or what?
I guess I just thought that maybe they would, bring in the guy. It would be a repeat of what happened with the Cubs, that they'd bring in the more established player manager when the players were ready to win, if they in fact think that they are ready to win.
Yeah, I don't think they would do that now. Maybe, next year if they felt they weren't really progressing enough. But, those guys love him. It's hard, like you said, like Dan says, it's hard to gauge, how good of a manager he is, because his record is so bad. I think it's one of the worst records of any Sox manager since maybe Don Gutteridge. I don't know. I have to look that one up.
Don Gutteridge. Wow.
And you're fitting right in. Chef, look that one up. I like that. You gave him an assignment already.
That's beautiful.
But I don't know. We don't know. But we'll see this year how he handles things. He's already talking about how he's going to leave Eloy and left in, late game situations. I would think, now if you're trying to win, maybe put Angle out there at the end of a game, maybe if it's 2-1 game. But that's Ricky.
What do you consider to be the biggest question mark with the White Sox?
Probably the rotation, since we don't know about Giolito right now. We all expect him to be there, but he didn't have the best second half. So he's really got to prove himself for, an entire season this time. Keuchel, I think, is a good addition, but, he's not the Keuchel he was in Houston 2-3 years ago. We don't know when Kopech's going to be there. So, you're really kind of relying on Lopez to turn it around, which we haven't seen that. And Dylan Cease had a good last month, but, we've got to see that for a longer stretch. So I think they'll hit for sure. I don't think they'll be particularly good defensively, but, I think the pitching is a real question mark.
Sully, back to the Cubs for just a second. There's no one in sports really that has to talk more than the manager of a baseball team. What are you expecting the differences, the notable public differences, to be either on the field or off the field from Joe Maddon to David Ross?
Well, I really haven't seen enough of Ross as a manager, but just from the early going, he's much more straightforward. Press conferences are much shorter. Joe would kind of go off on tangents sometimes, talking about, Ralph Cramden episodes or The Office, or there was a lot of non sequiturs when Joe was doing a press conference. It was kind of like the Family Guy or something. And Rossi's, he's kind of old school. He's got kind of a Southern drawl, just a little bit of one. And he reminds me of one of those old 1970s managers so far. It's early.
The message from the top management passed down to David Ross since last season into this training camp has been, we need more teamwork. We need more work together around the batting cage, talking about scouting reports, more stretching together as a team. Have you seen that manifested thus far in spring ball, Sully? And have you talked to any players about how they've received those messages from their bosses?
Yeah, I've talked to Bryant. I talked to Rizzo just the other day about it. That is the thing they're working on, is doing everything together. Rizzo said it's a lot. You can already tell the difference between last year and this year. you know, it's hard for me to say because in spring training, it seemed like they were always doing stuff together anyways. And it wasn't until the season started when they, you know, they all got their separate workout routines before a game. You know, sometimes you'll see one guy in the clubhouse. Sometimes you'll never see him. So, you know, it's something that we'll have to watch over the course of the year, but certainly it's something that Ross has said he's going to do a lot more than Joe Maddon did.
Paul Sullivan, the In the Wake of the News columnist for the Tribune, congratulations again. And Sully, I enjoyed the back and forth apparently you had with Shep when he reached out to you to come on. His first response was, uh-oh, what did I do wrong? What did I do? Why do you guys want me on if I did something?
No, not what did I do wrong. What happened? I thought there was like some story that breaking story that I didn't know about, and I was going to have to comment on it.
All right. We just, if we're reaching out, it's not necessarily bad. We want you to know that.
The story is you.
I'm grateful, mister,
is your new flashy business card in the wake of the news, scribe. You're the story.
Just call it the wake, okay? Just we're trying to get rid of the whole of the news part.
It's
kind of old-timey.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's probably
a good
idea.
You don't want to be the wake, though. The wake could connote sleepy, you know?
Well, that's me.
On brand.
No one says that about you, as far as you know.
Thank you, Paul.
See you, Sully.
All right, see you guys.
The happy Paul Sullivan from the Tribune joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park.
It sure is. That's your new columnist in the Chicago Tribune, Paul Sullivan.
Going to stick in his lane with baseball.
For the time being. For the time being. Listen, I'm just glad the paper has a columnist. Frankly, I like opinion. I like commentary. Hopefully it'll become a destination column for people to continue reading it. I know the Tribune is, I was talking to someone there, not in the sports department. They described it as a very grim place right now.
Yeah.
More editorial changes the other day, ownership situation. So I was worried they were going to have no columnist.
Yeah. Let me ask you what I asked Paul Sullivan about the current crop of opinion makers with the Metros. I guess we can throw the Athletic in here if you want to, but I think more traditionally newspaper, columnists, Tribune, Sun-Times, Daily Herald, pick whichever. What's missing? I asked him, and he didn't.
I know what you're thinking.
You know where I'm going. Well, what's your opinion? Without thinking about how I might answer the question, what do you think might be missing?
Honestly, just more commentary, more opinion. Frankly, because there was a time when you would have two columnists on either side of a Chicago Tribune, right? And now there's many, many, many issues of the paper that have none, and so that. That's what I like in my sports, because the facts and the information, beat writers are obviously important, and facts are obviously important.
Right.
But in 2020, they are so readily accessible at our fingertips that there's nothing really proprietary. Like if Adam Schefter breaks a story and Ian Rappaport has it 2.2 seconds later, and maybe Schefter just broke the story because he got it on Twitter faster, not necessarily because of the scoop. So that part of the business has been streamlined, I think, by technology, whereas you said Skip Bayless, Jay Mariotti, David Hall, whomever it was that you thought was like, this is my guy, that was, okay, these 1,200 words, I can only get it here when it goes to print.
Yeah, I think we have missed a real legitimate heavyweight columnist recently. I would love to see somebody who really brings the fastball up around the chin to the biggest institutions in town. And I don't think we've had that for some time. On occasion, some guys have been there, but a watchdog. And whether you loved Mariotti or hated him, and most people went to the latter on Jay, he brought it. When he had somebody he was wanting to eviscerate, he did it. He'd spent 1,200 words doing it and was very skilled at it.
Right. You like the take the blade to someone. And all. The only thing that I would say, because I know what you're talking about, like David Haw, great writer, but also a storyteller. Like he wasn't necessarily going to be, I'm going to carve this person up for this decision sort of thing. I just, sometimes with that, it became, oh, this guy's got a bias against Ozzie Guillen. Like, this guy's got a grudge against the Reinsdorfs. And so it read as very transparent and biased to me.
Okay. That's a fair criticism of his.
You know what I mean? So, like, that it wore really thin. Like, Joe Cowley will take the blade to people, but, like, I also know that there is nothing that Derrick Rose could do that Joe Cowley would compliment him for. And there is nothing that Jimmy Butler could do where Joe Cowley would criticize him.
Yeah, and he clearly defined line on Ozzie Guillen versus Kenny Williams with Cowley also.
Yeah, and listen, have a strong opinion and then be known for it, right? We're in the opinion business too. So I'm not necessarily saying it's a bad thing, but I like a little bit of nuance, a little bit of reason, and the removal of bias occasionally.
I think the most effective sports columnist in Chicago history is Bernie Lincecum. I don't know if you ever read Bernie.
I did.
He went out to Denver a few years back, probably around the time that you were starting to think about getting into the business, but he was absolutely second to none at bringing the heat.
Every morning with breakfast when I was growing up, 8 years old on, probably, Chicago Tribune sports section.
Yeah.
Was at the breakfast table right there. My parents would be gone before I would wake up, but my dad would read the paper probably at 5 a.m. before he would leave so that he could leave me the sports section. He'd read the sports page first and then leave it for me so that I could read it with breakfast, and then we'd talk about it after I got home from school sometimes. So, yeah,
nice.
I mean, yeah, I loved it. I never got into newspapers in terms of the writing because I liked talking and broadcasting more, but I really respect newspapers, and it's really, really sad and frankly scary what's happening to the Tribune. For sports, listen, it's not sports. It sucks that that Rich Campbell felt like he needed to leave. It sucks that David Haw felt like he needed to leave and take the lifeboat of radio, but sports are trivial. The city needs a major metropolitan newspaper that is funded.
Wow, salute.
It does. It does. And what's happening to the Tribune is, it's not good. It is not a good thing for this city. So, I don't know, man.
Looking at the building depresses me.
Oh, the Tribune
Walking
Tower?
Walking down Michigan Avenue. Yeah. The Tribune building.
Every week there's a new story that comes out about, oh, okay, these two editors decided that they couldn't take it, or they walked, or these two people are searching for new ownership, or these people were offered buyouts only 8 years into the gig, or this is being cut. And it's like, man, the city is complex. I just saw a thing on they would hire 5 interns on like an intern basis, but you know, so they were paid, but it was the program was we'd bring people in, it would help diversify the newsroom, and then hopefully at the end of whatever it was, I forget if it was 12, 18 months, whatever, they'd be hired to full staff. And so they would do the job for cheap.
Yeah.
And then the idea is at the end, you do a good job, they get to come on staff. And it was a good program to get young journalists in the door and all that. And they just dropped all 5 of the people instead of putting them on for benefits and payroll.
Perfect.
Just terrible,
man. The world needs ditch diggers, too.
It's terrible. You're having these people put out 3, 4, 5 stories a week.
I know.
And then you don't reward them on the back end of it. It's really, really bad. Because the Sun-Times is what it is. And I mean that with only a little bit of disrespect. Like, it's the tabloid second newspaper.
I've always felt it was second. Not that there haven't been some very talented people who worked there.
Very talented people, but it is. It's second with circulation and all of that. And it's more gimmicky and tabloidy and New York Posty, and you know what I mean? That's
fair to the Tribune what the White Sox have been to the Cubs.
And so I need the Tribune to be a major, like a funded newspaper. And I don't know. I aborted on major again because you guys were just going to salute the points.
Well, Chuck is very quick on the salute.
So before the name of the major comes out, I have already saluted. So you have the major pause, and it's just,
you were just saluting.
Major's already out, and the salute's gone.
An anonymous major is who you were saluting.
Do you guys salute when you're in your vehicles driving or when you're on the train going somewhere?
Yeah, you've ruined me with that regard.
Sorry.
Actually, you'll say something like at home, major this, and I'll do like a mini salute, and she'll look at me like, what the hell are you doing? Like, sorry.
Saluted major manufacturers this morning, first thing.
It's a tremendous legacy you're leaving behind.
I love it.
I understand. I have 2 stories of abject stupidity. One touches on sports, one not. I want you guys to tell me which is dumber next on The Score.
Mark, I'm going on that age-old line that you and I both say. When in doubt, give it to Berry.
Give to Berry. Cut back over the middle of the 25 to the 20. Breaks a tackle to the 15. Stops, starts 10-5. Touchdown Lions. Holy mackerel. Two Chicago Bears there to stop him, and they could not do it. Another stop-start run by Barry Sanders.
Sick and tired of hearing about your damn email.
Ow! All right. I'm saying, why are you playing a Barry Sanders highlight? Well, it's one of the stupid stories. I'm going to get to it in just a second. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats return to Wrigley Field November 7th as they host Wisconsin. Guarantee a ticket to this matchup with the purchase of season tickets. Buy now at NUSports.com.
If I would have been thinking this morning, I would have worn my Barry Sanders jersey to celebrate this bit.
So I did not know this story until later on in the day, so I could not have let you know about it. But yeah, the jersey would have fit in perfectly because the jersey is exactly what prompted a story.
Yeah.
Garth Brooks had a concert in Detroit.
Uh-huh.
Garth Brooks wore a Barry Sanders concert to his concert.
He wore a Barry Sanders jersey.
Yeah, what did I say?
His concert. Barry Sanders concert. He wore a Barry Sanders concert.
Sorry, I was too excited for the story. A Barry Sanders jersey. Facebook was inundated with comments.
Exploded.
Saying, Trump 2020.
Yeah, I was wondering why Sanders is trending today. Dude, did something happen to my guy?
They were very upset that they thought that Garth Brooks was making a political stance for Bernie Sanders.
He was in Detroit. Get it? See how that works? Barry Sanders played in Detroit.
We're so hyper-politicized nowadays and so split that the thought of a country music icon wearing anything that said Sanders, that freaks people out.
Right.
That's not a good place to be. Like, you guys know where I align politically, but we got to just dial it back a little bit here.
Yeah, I would strongly encourage people to do a little connecting of the dots before they get upset about something and recognize what a man's motivation might have been for a garment choice when he's playing on stage all around the country, all around the world.
Yeah, and oh yeah, by the way, what if it was a Bernie Sanders jersey? Like, okay, can you not listen to music of someone who votes for a different politician than you?
A little bit to the left wing on that, you know?
I don't know. It's just like, God.
Yes, that's our guy, the tight end, Witten, right?
With yeah,
the too,
Jason
too far
Witten.
To the left wing.
Yeah, okay.
A little bit to the left wing on that, you know?
He was close. I knew what he was going for when he went to the left wing.
So that's door number one. Getting freaked out as a Garth Brooks fan in Detroit over Garth Brooks wearing a Barry Sanders jersey thinking it's Bernie Sanders. Mm. Okay?
Mm.
That's dumb story one. Dumb story two is Anheuser-Busch, the parent company that owns Corona, the beer, has reported since the first news reports of the coronavirus that their profits are down $170 million, and a national poll was just conducted that had 38% of Americans responding that they will not drink Corona because of its links to the virus.
Oh, my goodness. The first part of it doesn't surprise me. The second part of it kind of does.
Isn't that incredible?
Wow. like, how stupid do you have to be?
Oh, man.
Corona's been making their product for how many years? 100 plus, probably 80, somewhere
people
in there.
Making that connection. As soon as I
and
heard.
Just now the coronavirus has become a thing?
The first time I heard coronavirus, I knew that this was going to wind up having a real bad effect on the company. How much was sales down?
$170 million in profit.
Oh my
less profit.
God. Oh, that's painful.
Yeah, you could say I spend too much time on the internet.
I'm not going to drink that coronavirus. You know what people have been saying about Mexican water all these years.
Well, if I put two limes in my Corona, does it offset the virus? Come on.
Ay.
What do we do? So what's dumber? Being mad at Garth Brooks or staying away
you
from
have
the
to
beer?
Choose
that's
them,
what
man,
I,
that
well,
is.
That's
yeah.
what I'm asking.
How dumb do you... It's not like it's just a concert that was in Detroit. It's at Ford damn Field. Like, there's a Lions logo probably on the grass underneath him. Like, that's where Barry played at the Silver Dome, but still, it's the
it's
Lions
the house
home
that Barry
stadium.
Built.
Sure.
Yeah.
Shep, who you crapping?
I
Man,
just
they,
love
they,
that
they
so
are,
much.
They are both so vapid. It's difficult. It's impossible for me to choose which one is dopier.
I agree.
I can't pick one.
You abstain from the votes.
Yeah.
Co-winners.
Anything that originates from Facebook, like if those people are on Facebook believing that it was a Bernie Sanders jersey, I mean, you don't know how many of those people are real, how many of them are Russian.
The bot factor.
Russian bots, or just stupid people on Facebook. But yeah. The other one, you're actively avoiding a product because you believe that. So that's more real to me.
Okay.
You can put a dollar amount on that.
Sure. Because they were able to quantify it. All right. I follow your logic there. I just
want to, man, that is so unfortunate.
He wants people to have free health care. I can't listen to his music anymore. Like, what? What? So incredible. And could you imagine you own that company like $170 million? Just like that.
Yeah.
$170 million.
You know, a beverage that took an enormous hit. Not that long ago, what year was Sideways, the movie Sideways, 04-ish, I want to say? The Merlot manufacturers, Merlot from every winery in the America, their sales went down enormously because of one of Paul Giamatti's lines, as Simon or Miles, in the movie when he said, anybody drinks Merlot, I'm leaving. Because he was a wine snob of epic proportion. He knew all about the different kinds of grapes and when they grew best and where they grew best. And anybody drinks Merlot, I'm leaving. Merlot sales plummeted 300% in America.
That's like after, I don't even remember what the story was that like reignited people in America being really mad about like the French being weak. It was in like the mid-2000s. People were like, I'm boycotting French fries.
Freedom fries.
Freedom toast. I forgot what.
I think that was post 9/11.
Was it okay? That was. Oh, was the,
France wouldn't help with? Was it? Was invasion it
with,
of Iraq
with the Iraq War? They were like a little hesitant to come in, and so they're like, "Oh, you're not. You're either with
history
us or against us."
Yeah,
freedom toast.
Really,
and,
made them look like fools.
Yeah, and sadly, I think that edict came from up top. I think that was like a government thing that they started. That it wasn't just like people saying that. I'd have to check my facts on that.
Good
one,
Lord.
But
freedom fries.
That's hysterical.
We're just the worst. We're just, I don't know.
What did,
man,
Ray Zelensky say? What about the American consumer? You know who Ray Zelensky is?
Tommy Boy.
Yeah, Tommy Boy. Right. Yes,
Tommy,
yes.
Boy.
Yeah. He sells auto parts for the working man. What the American consumer doesn't know is what makes him the American consumer.
Yeah.
That's very appropriate for several of these stories.
It sure is. And it's, to a texter's point, he goes, hey, but how much did Corona sales go up after Fast and the Furious? Okay, that is different. Like, if you liked a dumb movie and a dumb character, and so you drank a dumb beer, like, all right, advertising. Advertising works. This is a global health epidemic. You're staying away from a beer. It's different.
I'm going out for Mexican food tomorrow night. I had not planned on. I feel like doing them a favor and buying a couple Coronas this weekend just to help out.
Yeah, you're going to be fine. I promise. A round of Coronas for the house.
Yeah, just water down the infield with Coronas. You don't need a mask for it either, by the way. You're going to be just fine afterward.
Mexican food, huh?
Yes. I don't know Mexican food very well. I know American Mexican, but I don't have any degree. I have no education on how to order at a good Mexican restaurant. I have no idea what I'm dealing with here.
So I got to be honest. I like to think that I know good Mexican food, but so.
All right.
What are you worried that you're? It's
like I know tacos. I know enchiladas. I know flautas. I don't know the names of the actual entrees and what's good, and I feel like I'm completely stupid walking in. Hmm. I have no idea where to go with this.
Well, there's going
to
be, I mean, listen, you're going to have a lot of varieties with tortilla, rice, beans, cheese, sauce, you know what I mean? Like high-end Mexican food, low-end Mexican food, you're going to get all of those main things.
So it's always the same ingredients, just prepared differently?
Well, that's a joke about Mexican food, but there's so many amazing things that, you know what I mean? I could eat Mexican food every day of the week, man.
I've come to really like it too, but all I do is get the standard stuff. We Americans, and you're as American as Shep and I are.
Yeah, and Mike Chen.
That's all I get is, you know, tacos or a burrito. I don't know how to order an entree, something really big, and I don't know.
Well, so like beef steak would be the steak. Al pastor would be some pork.
I want pork.
So al pastor.
I probably will go pork. It's a very flavorful meat.
Yeah, so you can go in that direction.
Are you a fajitas guy?
Yeah, I guess. But isn't that kind of that's kind of American, though, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of just standard. You get that at Chili's.
You can. Usually it's no shame to Chili's whatsoever, but usually it's a little more flair to it if you get it at an authentic Mexican restaurant.
Okay.
I think you're going to be good here. I think you're selling yourself a little short.
Texter says anything smothered in mole is good. Is that correct?
Well,
and like some of the more upscale Mexican restaurants that I've been to, like that's like there's one place in here in downtown Chicago. That's their thing, like different types of mole, you know, different flavor varieties for different entrees and things like that. So,
okay.
Suiza, mole.
Okay.
Suiza. Yeah, it's a great, as soon as I said it.
Flotas.
Get some elotes.
Huevos. That's eggs, right? Huevos?
Huevos is eggs. Yeah.
They don't know much Spanish.
Are you sure?
You have a Corona next to my huevos.
I just love those stories, man.
That's just... He's in Detroit wearing a Barry Sanders jersey.
Could you imagine Garth Brooks comes on at Ford Field and he gets booed? What?
That's great.
This segment, by the way, sponsored by Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunch Bars. We are McNeil and Parkins on the Score. Welcome back, McNeil and Parkins on the Score. It's good to have the entire mob back together. And we were all thinking about you, Shep, yesterday. I know it was a tough day for you to miss work, kind of by surprise.
Yeah, not the typical Thursday off day that you would want. My wife and I rescued a dog. It was kind of a funny story. We move into our house just over about 2.5 years ago, and a neighbor is walking by one of the days and has 3 or 4 dogs with her, introduces herself. Oh, you're the new neighbors. Nice to meet you. And my wife, working in marketing, loving animals like she did. Oh, are those all your dogs? Do you have all those? No, I work at a foster group. I volunteer with the foster group. Okay, well, if I can ever help you in any way, my wife's background being in marketing, she tells them, hey, I would love to volunteer for you. I'd love to help you out any way I can. Thinking events, promotion, anything like that. 2 days later, we get a note on our door offering us, hey, there's a little black dog that just needs a home for 2 weeks. He needs to be isolated away from dogs. If you could take him for 2 weeks, that'd be great, and we'll find a home for him. And we said, okay, after she kind of got me to agree to that. And about 48 hours later, I said, that dog is never leaving. And for 2.5 years, my guy Ned was the best damn dog you could ever ask for. And unfortunately, he was in heart failure. And things took a turn for the worse yesterday morning after dealing with some things. And it was tough, but it was his time to go. But he was a great dog, and it sucked, man. It is an absolute thing that I did not understand. I did not understand when people would say the loss of a pet, the loss of an animal, it hurts you, it affects you, it pulls at you, it kills you. But after yesterday, that is something I just do not wish upon anyone. That attachment is so real, and it's tough.
Sorry, man. It's
That does suck. You know, did he die with you on the way to the vet? Or
yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, he was. We're driving to the vet, and I mean not to give too many details, but he started showing signs of some weakness, and I'm trying to tell him and remind him, hey, we're only a couple minutes away. Hang in there. And one of the people that are the vet that we went to, just fantastic work that they've done. They saw me pull up and run around the side of the car, and one ran out to help as soon as possible, but it was too late.
Man, I'm so sorry. I know can't follow you on social media and not know how much you how much you love Ned. So
it's my dude, man.
Yeah,
it's like it's. I never understood when people would talk about how great their dog is, and I'm like, I'm sure you enjoy it. You can't possibly love an animal that much, and it's just. Like, it was funny because my wife was the one that said, yeah, let's foster it. It'll only be a couple of weeks. And then I, within at most 2 days, probably not even 2 days.
I remember that.
Was the one that was just, he's not leaving. And she's like, well, he's got these health issues we have to be aware of. He's not leaving. He's staying here. I don't care. We'll deal with him. And you deal with him in the good. You deal with it all in the bad. And no matter what, he was always there to greet you at home. And it's going to be a weird damn thing to go home and not have him bark twice at me and run when I walk in the door tonight.
Okay, as they did in Cleveland with the Browns mascot, is there anything planned? Is there going to be a visitation? Are we going? Is there anything we can do? Can we take his ashes to Weaver Field?
He wasn't a Browns fan. Shocking, I know, that the dog was not a Browns fan, had no connections to the Browns. No, it's the weirdest damn thing. I mean, you're in the room at the vet, and they tell you they try to save him, and the doctor comes in, and Dr. K was absolutely awesome at Park Rose Animal Hospital all through dealing with Ned's health issues. And he comes in with a look on his face and it's like, I know what you're about to say. Can you just, do you have to tell me? Do you have to say this? And it's like, son of a gun. But we're going to get Ned's ashes and make a little tribute for him at home and kind of always keep him there with us.
Good for you, man. You think you'll get another dog?
I mean, I would love to. It's just, it's so hard right now to think of, like, how do you replace the dude? How do you replace him? And it's, I never was the one that was pitching for the dog in the first place. He was kind of offered upon us, and I wouldn't let him go. So, I mean, it's, if he did do one thing, I was never aware of, like, the big time issue that there is in the animal community with rescuing and adopting versus shopping for a dog.
Yeah, Bob Barker, help control the pet population, have your pet spayed or neutered,
right.
Adopt instead of breed,
and
yeah.
He has brought that, like, brought awareness for me upon that, and I've tried to kind of spread that to other people that I know that whenever, oh, I think it'd be cool to get a dog, and I kind of always kind of pushed in the way of, make sure you adopt. There's plenty of great dogs out there, and even if they're not the perfect breed that you want and the perfect type and the perfect age that you want, there's plenty of great dogs that'll be very, very happy to have a forever home.
You're getting a ton of support and love from our listeners, Shep, just so you know that.
I see it on the text line.
Yeah,
it's all appreciated.
It's great. You're making grown men cry.
It's the worst, man. It, like, I don't really know how to describe it. And dealt with health issues. And we had, and my wife and I, Ashley and I, had talked many times of, God, he's hanging on, and he'd pull through. And you just kind of got it built in your brain of, like, all right, he's dealing with something. He's going to pull through. It's the way he has done this. And our doctor, or his doctor, would always tell us, it's like, it's amazing. This dog is a fighter. This dog, he has no quit in him. And then ultimately, I mean, he gave every beat his heart had to give.
Well, we're sorry, man. I know that's very, very, very tough to go through. My family's had a couple of dogs, so I know what you're going through, but it doesn't make it easy. And yeah, now you have Peyton, and maybe you can get a puppy, and they can grow up together. And
there you go.
You know what I mean? Honestly, yeah. it's kind of a cool thing.
That was one of the cool things of it. Of he had dealt with things through the summer, and we had wondered, like, okay, well, I wonder if he's going to get to meet the baby. And then I think I've shared the story a couple of times on the air of we bring Peyton home, and they had told us, oh, have a blanket with her scent on it, so when he first meets her, he's at least somewhat aware. And that worked. Like, he comes out, he runs right to her, and for the months that they had together, the almost 4 months they had together, I don't know if he knew that came from Mom, but hey, he defended it, and anytime a stranger walked into a house that he wasn't familiar with and walked towards the baby, he protected Peyton like it was his sibling. It was cool to see.
Well, we're sorry for your loss, man, and we are very glad to have you back. Coming up next, we have some great audio that was on the station earlier today from a bit of a White Sox cult hero. We'll get into it next on The Score.